So believe it or not, before I made it into the church world, working that is, I used to be in the corporate world. So I was in a gig, the very exciting world of insurance. And at the beginning or at the end of every year, we would get an email. It was always very timely because it was very corporate. And it would be titled Self-Evaluation. And so we were all so just involved with the work that we were seeing, very important work in the insurance world, guys. And so we would get these emails, and we'd click on it, and we'd see it was 10 pages long, maybe even longer, and you'd start going, I don't want to do that. Why take the time to have a self-evaluation, a self-assessment of myself? That's the job of this work environment, the job of the managers, the job of the CEOs. They're the ones who need to be evaluating me, right? Because I'm the one that's bringing in the big bucks. I'm the one that is just grinding and binding, you know, all these insurance policies. And so they should be the ones that are telling me, hey, you're doing a great job. Hey, there's nothing that you need to fix. Hey, you're just perfect the way that you are. Oftentimes, we get self-evaluations, and maybe perhaps you're going to get one soon for any of the classes that you're taking, or when you move on, you're going to course evaluation where you kind of have to then evaluate the professor. But even those, you start going, oh, I don't want to do this. Why do I want to evaluate it? Perhaps it's a health questionnaire when you go to sit down at a new doctor's office, and it's a self-evaluation. Tell us what you think you have. Tell us what you think is wrong. I don't know. I'm just going to check this one and this one and this one, right? We don't have time for intentional reflection. We don't have time to work out these issues that perhaps are wrong with us. And as much as we dislike these self-evaluations, this intentional reflection, a good old self-examination is always good. These self-evaluations help see the overlooked areas in our lives that perhaps are a little weak, need some more growth, or something that we haven't even touched in the past. Some good introspection helps assess where we might be. For example, what's going well, what's good, what's bad. See, self-evals, we can shorten it to that, you know, just so we can be cool and hip. Self-evals may feel silly, but I think as we take them, we start understanding the purpose of them. They're beneficial when they're done right. Maybe a little painful, but beneficial. See, guys, intentional reflection strengthens your faith, and it ensures it's genuine rather than just assumed. Right? You don't want to live this Christian life just assuming that you're doing the right things. You want to have that intentional reflection. And whether that happens because someone's forcing you to have that examination or that self-assessment, it's important to do in your life, especially where you're at now, right? And I'm glad that it's the gap year students are here, right, front and center. Right, because this is the time for you to have that intentional self-reflection in your lives. But it helps you assess whether your faith is genuine and growing, and especially in a world that's filled with distractions and various different types of pressures, taking time for intentional self-examination ensures that your faith isn't just complacent and stagnant, but that you're actively living it out. You're actively deepening your relationship with Christ and seeking to live a Christ-centered life. And this is what we're going to find at the end of 2 Corinthians in chapter 13. We're going to be in just one verse, verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. And here there's an exhortation to intentionally reassess how it is that they're living. Paul is very intentional here because in the verses beforehand, he says, you shouldn't be questioning me whether Christ is speaking through me. You should be examining yourselves. Test yourselves is what he's saying there. Is your life Christ-centered? Is it authentic? Is it genuine? Or are you just puffing yourself up with knowledge and you're not really applying any of that? Heeding Paul's words and what he says in this one small verse allows us to reap the benefits of real introspection and helps give way to real faith and real growth. Let's go ahead and read 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, and that says this. If you will follow along, if you got your physical Bibles, or if you have your phone with you, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says this. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. That word there, examine, he's saying, put the test. Check yourself right before you wreck yourself. Prove, attempt, make sure that you are living the right way. So he says, examine, prove it. He continues on in that verse, to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this is about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test, he says there. And I love that word test. Test because it can be translated to scrutinize, evaluate. And scrutinize, right, is something to look very closely and thoroughly at something. How many of us will scrutinize we'll scrutinize forums, we'll scrutinize what that person said to us, we'll scrutinize different things except for sometimes our faith, our walk. And he urges them, he's saying, test yourselves. Don't just assume that you're spiritually secure. And you have that question there, yet realize, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Is Christ truly in you? If he is, then your life is going to show the evidence in your faith, in your character, in your actions, in your desires. And this is a call to intentional reflection, ensuring that your faith isn't just an outward claim, but a true and genuine one. Not just the students, right? Because one day you're going to walk out, one day you'll leave this building and perhaps you'll never come back. You'll either get married, you'll move on, you'll go to a different church, whatever the case is, right? And people who aren't students, we need to be sure that we're running in the right direction. We're going the right way. And intentional reflection helps that. Self-examination, a self-assessment of who we are, what we're doing, and what this faith that we have professed really means to us. It's important to pause and reflect on all that's going on in your lives. And that leads me to the first thing, the first point that I want to say to you guys to this afternoon is this, is be sure to pause and reflect. How many of you have been on road trips? It's okay to raise your hand. We can be interactive a little bit, right? Road trips are fun. They're exciting. You get to go, just eat all the snacks you want. You're driving with friends. You're listening to music. But after hours of driving, right, sometimes we get so excited we forget to really pay attention to what's happening. So perhaps, right, in this hypothetical illustration I'm giving you, after hours of driving, what happens? Oh, it's been too exciting, so I've lost track of where we're supposed to be going. We're low on gas, and we've missed several turns, miles behind. Life is like this. Sometimes we keep moving forward. We're just going. The status quo, this is our lane. I'm okay with not changing anything. I'm fine the way that I am. And we don't stop. We don't pause. We don't reflect to ask ourselves these questions. Are we following the right map? Have we stopped to refuel? Are we paying attention to where it is that we need to go or where we're going? Because in that same exact way, you need to be checking the route. You need to have spiritual checkpoints in your life to help you examine where it is that you stand in your faith. Is it in the right spot? Or are you, 50 miles south of where you need to be? If you don't, you risk drifting off course without even realizing it. And taking the time to pause and reflect ensures that you're heading toward God's purpose rather than assuming that your way is the right way. So here's a few things that I wanted to throw your way. And one of them is this, is if you're going to intentionally reflect, have self-examination, self-assessment, you need to make time for it. And I encourage you to make time for it. You can't let the busyness of life, the busyness of school, the busyness of work, keep you from assessing your Christian walk. You have to find the time to pause and reflect. And ask yourselves the question, is what I'm doing right now correct? What is it wrong? Am I trying to fit a square peg in a round hole? Am I trying to force something that shouldn't be? Do I need to move on to something different? These are all good questions to be asking, but you need to make the time to do that. Making time for intentional reflection requires self-awareness. It requires humility. So as you're doing it, be humble. Be self-aware of who you are, your character. Are you full of integrity? Are you good? Are you seeking godly things? Or are you doing things, whether at work or at school, at home, at church, for your own glory and your own sake? Because sometimes what happens is we forget to be humble in everything, and we puff ourselves up with, let's just say, a breadth of theological knowledge or a particular topic, and we puff ourselves up and we go, I don't think I need to change anything. I don't need to reflect. I don't need to move forward or move a different direction because I'm good the way I am. I'm fine the way I am. Instead, what we need to be doing is you need to be asking, right? If we're going to be humble, if we're going to be self-aware, asking for people to give us that feedback. If you're going to want to make time for it, you're going to make time to ask from people who care about you and love you and want to see you grow in your faith, grow as the individual that you are. So ask mentors, ask professors, ask your parents, ask small group leaders, and most importantly, ask God. God, examine me. Search within me. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. There's a psalmist asking God, please, God, search me. Search within my heart. Where am I going wrong? What am I doing right? Make time for it. The second thing here is evaluate your heart and motives. You need to ask yourself the uncomfortable questions, because that's the thing with self-evaluation. We don't want to ask ourselves the uncomfortable questions, only the comfortable ones. Where am I going right? What am I good at? Where are my strengths? And seldom do we want to go, where are my weaknesses? Where am I failing? Why am I still stuck in the status quo of things instead of wanting to work excellently in the places where I might be failing, in the places where I might not be living up to his standards? Evaluate your heart and motives. Good questions to ask. Why are you serving where you're serving? Why aren't you serving? Why are you doing what you're doing? I know that's a very vague question, but why are you working where you work? Right? These are good questions to be asking yourselves, intentionally reflecting upon the things that you're currently going through in life right now. And your faith, if it's become routine, why? Why do you think it's going that way? Why has your faith become a routine, a habit? I'm just checking boxes off. I came on Sunday. I went to Bridge on Sunday night. I did my small groups. Check, 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 check. Monday morning comes around. I can tuck everything back to where it needs to go, and I can keep moving on. And the next week, and I'll do the same thing again. See, testing and examining, we're going to see that all throughout Scripture, right? Especially when it comes when we're setting it up against the gospel, because the gospel helps in our examination. Our gospel is going to point to us to our sin and say, you aren't good enough, but Christ is. Lamentations 3:40 has a specific call and says, let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. And this verse should cause within you a need for repentance and renewal. In reflecting on your life choices, right? Some of you have made some life choices. Some of you are in the process of doing that. How are they in line with God's purpose for you? You should want to evaluate your actions and turn back to God in areas where you may have strayed away. And this is a time of reflection. And I want to note this, because I think sometimes some of us are really hard on ourselves for this, right? This isn't like SmackDown 2025, right? This is a time of reflection, is to be introspective and have be genuine and authentic. I need to change, and I need to align my ways back with the Lord's. So you shouldn't be stewing or thinking up ways of saying, I failed, I'm a failure, I'm this, I'm that. Right? I'm sure your parents echo this. They've always echoed this. You learn from those mistakes, learn from those failures, and continue trusting God through the process of that. Right? Whether that failure or that mistake was due to temptation, now I'm sin, I'm asking for forgiveness, I'm reconciling with somebody, I now need to move forward and seek out reconciliation. Right? But that's part of intentional reflection. Is I need to seek out what my heart and my motives are in everything that I'm doing. This last one is recognize areas of spiritual drift. See, intentional reflection will highlight where you've strayed, and you have to be quick to identify those so that you don't remain complacent, So you're not stagnant. So you're quick to move. I know I messed up here. I got to adjust a little bit, tweak this, and I need to move forward. I need to keep going. Right? Revelation, I like what Revelation chapter 2, 4 through 5 says this. And this is Christ, a reminder to one of the churches. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we're so involved in some particular thing, and we're so focused on this one thing that we've forgotten. Well, no, it's all about Jesus. Or it's all about fellowship. It's all about this. It's all about the intentionality and purpose. And what we do is we say, this is my desire, my want, and I'm sticking it right here, and this is what I'm striving for, and this is what I'm working for. But what we don't realize is we're becoming spiritual. We're drifting spiritually. Remember, therefore, says verse 5 of that passage, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. See that you've abandoned your first love, repent and come back, is what he's saying there. In your service at this church, or if one day you go on to a different church because you've moved out of the state or whatever it is, be sure that you're serving intentionally with the right motives, with the right heart. Be sure that now, today, if you haven't done your daily Bible reading, or tomorrow, that you open up your Bible and that Bible intake is purposeful. Be sure that this weekend, or if you have an opportunity during a small group or a small gathering, there's going to be worship, that you worship, your worship is focused and driven. You have to prove yourselves. Scrutinize and evaluate. And this is what Paul is saying here in this fifth verse of the 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians, right? The scrutinizing, examining, and inspecting something so closely and so thoroughly, we should be checking to ensure that we're doing what we're doing doesn't become just a routine, that it's not just a habit, that it's a good habit, but it's not just routine. And your faith ought to be fueled by this, a genuine love for Christ. So scrutinize, evaluate, examine to be absolutely sure. And that's the second point for today, is this, is be sure to test your faith. See, a blacksmith forges, I'm not going to lie to you and say that I collect swords, right? But a blacksmith forges a sword, and he heats it up, and he hammers it, and he starts shaping it. But before it can even be used, what does he do? He has to test it. So he strikes it against something hard. He bends it under pressure. He exposes it to intense heat. And if it shatters, it didn't pass the test. It wasn't strong enough. See, likewise, faith has to be tested. If it's never examined, we don't know if it's going to withstand life's pressures. Trials and reflection reveal whether our faith is genuine and strong or if it needs refining. A tested faith is a faith that can endure. So you guys need to be checking for genuineness of your faith. Is your faith actively shaping the way that you live? Is there fruit that you're bearing? I mean, we all know this. At some point, I'm sure you guys have memorized Galatians 5, 22 through 23. There's the fruit. Fruits of the Spirit are these things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That's the fruit we should be bearing in our lives. And fruit indicates whether there's a healthy tree that's growing there. If there aren't any dead branches, there's nothing dying on it, it's bearing healthy, good fruit. So you go up, goodbye, ooh, that's a good apple. See, there's always a good reason for self-assessment, and it helps us to understand how we're serving, how we're schooling, how we're working, and how we're living is being done rightly and for the Lord. Not for anything else or anyone else. And a good way to measure this, right? I know I need to bear fruit. How do I measure this reflection and these ideas and these thoughts and the want for change and transformation in my life? What do I measure that against? Well, you measure it against God's word. Because God's word, right, some of you have it in your laps, isn't just another book. It's living and active. It's something that is filled with encouragement and comfort and refuge and conviction. Measuring your faith against God's word is always the best place to go. Because God's word provides the guide for right character, right decisions, and right actions. It pierces through our very core, Hebrews 4:12 says, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So as we're testing, as we're examining, as we're reflecting, it's always up against God's word that is the truth of the gospel and a set of moral instructions that we need to live by. It's not done passively, actively. This last part of verse 5 in 2 Corinthians, he says, do you realize that Christ is in you? He's reminding the Corinthians of a couple of key truths here. So believers have Christ in them. And that's going to be evident in the way that you're living, evident in your faith, in your character, in your actions, in your thinking, in your interaction with each other and other people at this church. And obviously the implications of failing the test is what he's saying here. It says, unless indeed you fail to meet the test, obviously if Christ isn't in someone, isn't in you, then that's going to be evident as well. See, having Christ in you, you need to live confidently. Having Christ in you, live your life out confidently, knowing that in your self-reflection, you're always going to be pointed to the gospel and the need for Christ. That's the last point this afternoon, is be sure to live out your faith. Sometimes what we do is it's a New Year's resolution. I'm gonna sign up for a gym. I'm gonna go running. I'm gonna do A, B, C, X, Y, Z. And what do we do? What's the first thing we do? The first thing we do isn't go out and start running. We go and buy running shoes. We buy running clothes. If it's a gym, I'm gonna get fitted out to get to the gym, right? I'm gonna go and I'm gonna get the nice shoes. I'm gonna do all that. Right, but over time, what happens? I bought the nice clothes, I bought the nice shoes, but I haven't even entered my foot. I've not stepped one foot into the gym. So I'm just wasting, right? Wasting this time. Despite having everything that I needed to get stronger, my body remains the same because I never actually put my plan into action. I'm not living it out. Claiming to believe in Christ isn't enough. We must actively live out our faith. Yes, there's a profession of faith. We're sanctified, but then sanctification continues to happen, has to continue to happen. Our faith is active, not passive. We can't just sit by passively because we're going to grow complacent and stagnant, and there's no growth there. If it isn't put to practice through obedience, love, and trust in God, it remains ineffective as an unused gym membership. So faith is lived out, is one that grows and transforms your lives. So you have to move from belief to action. Move to action. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We all know this one. We're all familiar with that one verse. And it isn't enough just to receive the word. It requires active obedience. It's an activity. We not only just have to become, but continue becoming doers of the word. Testing your faith is living that out. See that it's real. See that it's legit. As I'm Latino, so growing up, we had lots of cafecito, right? Coffee from a young age. Cafecito, a little bit of coffee is what it really translates to, right? And it was active. I'm not saying I was running around with a hot cup of coffee and like sloshing it around. It's active. Active in the sense that you have a concha, pan dulce, sweet bread, boom, dunking it in. What can I dunk in this? Boom, active coffee drinking, right? Something that I wanna bring to the whole world. Just actively dunking something in it. Sometimes in wanting to be hearers or wanting to get more knowledge, we just become passive sippers of sermons. We sip on sermons. We sit down, we're in our cozy little parkas or blankets, and it's like, oof, this is a nice little cup of coffee. And I sip on it, and I'm gonna walk out. Ooh, that was enjoyable, but I'm not gonna do anything with it. We can't just sip on sermons. All those sermons that you've ever listened to, apply them. All those lectures that you are currently going to be listening to the rest of the semester, turn them into wisdom. All that wise counsel you get from professors, pastors, your parents, small group leaders, turn them into action. You need to move from belief to action. And this last thing here is you want to commit to ongoing growth. Commit to ongoing growth. See, brothers and sisters, real faith isn't static. It shouldn't be static. It keeps growing through prayer, scripture, and obedience to God. And 2 Peter chapter 13, verse 18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge. Peter is urging believers to continue growing in their faith, emphasizing in their faith, growing in grace. Now, what is that? That's deepening our dependence on God's unmerited favor in our lives, living in His strength and allowing His grace to shape our character and our actions. If we're going to have intentional reflection, that's why I said the gospel is always the best backdrop in that intentional reflection. The gospel is going to help us in our examination. Why? Because the gospel always points to the truth that we are sinners in need of a Savior. So as you grow in your Christian faith, remember that you need to grow in that grace. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The second thing he says here is not a knowledge, right? You're going to experience spiritual maturity, and that comes from knowing Jesus more deeply. It's studying God's word, and it's not just studying. That's where, if we're just learning and not doing anything with that, there's no growth. We're just being puffed up with knowledge. We might be quick to say, yeah, this reference is Acts 5, whatever, whatever. Right? But if we're not saying, I need to apply this to my life inwardly and then change and obey what it's saying to me, there's not going to be that growth. It's spiritual maturity that comes through knowing Jesus more deeply. It's studying God's word. It's obeying his teachings, and it's walking in that truth. That's what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us. Paul says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are his creation, designed to do good works through Christ Jesus. Intentional reflection allows for us to be committed to an ongoing growth. We've planted this apple tree and then a peach tree. Last spring, the peach tree yielded some fruit. These beautiful little peach donut peaches. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it's these little peaches. And before we could even taste just the goodness of that fruit being bare, rats came in and snatched them all up. So now it's just bare. Right now, it's not quite spring, so nothing's coming out of that tree yet. But it's this little tiny tree. And sometimes, and I'll be honest with you, like I've forgotten to water it. I don't check the soil. I don't really need to trim the dead branches because it's still so small. So it's kind of, it's gotten to this point, right, in winter where it's like, all right, it's not going to bear any fruit, but it's kind of stunted. Like it kind of stopped growing the right way and properly. See, if we never take the time to really cultivate or evaluate our spiritual health, we risk becoming stagnant. We risk becoming this little tiny donut peach tree that I have in my backyard. And intentional reflection is that. It's tending to a tree because it helps us stay committed to ongoing growth and ensuring that our faith remains strong, deep-rooted, and fruitful in Christ. Pray with me. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to preach your word. Lord, I pray that as we heard your word and as we continue reading it, Lord, that we're not just, that we're motivated to move, to be active, or to live out this life, this faith actively and not passively, that we can grow and not remain stagnant and complacent. God, I pray that the students in here, and not just the students, but as a church, we're able to spur each other on to movement for you, to glorify you, to work excellently, and not just remain in the status quo, but to move to intentional reflection so that we can work out the kinks and work out the weaknesses we might have and be able to trust in you even amid failures and mistakes in our lives. God, I pray that we can always do this and live this way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.